Welcome to Day of Destiny with Dr. Michelle Correll, author, prophetic teacher, and pastor of Breath of the Spirit Prophetic Word Center. Dr. Correll can be seen weekly, nationwide, and around the world on her weekly telecasts that air on God TV, Impact, and Word Network. Now, let's join Dr. Correll by experiencing Day of Destiny, designed with your highest destiny in mind. Now, here is Dr. Correll.
Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. We know this, beloved saints. We know this. So how did the 12 go forth and do mighty works in the name of Jesus? This is a question. And this is because they were mantled for the miraculous, and that is through the name of Jesus. Through using his name, he gave them power. He mantled them with his authority, but he also, they were operating under his mantle. I said they were operating under his mantle through his command, and I will explain that to you in a moment. So we understand the first and primary way of being mantled for the miraculous. We see the 12 going forth and doing great signs and wonders even before baptism in the Holy Spirit. And that is because they were not operating under their own anointing. They were an extension of Jesus's anointing. They were under the mantle and authority of Jesus. Are you hearing me? Do you understand this? Then we see a second way that the mantle is transferred. We see this beginning in Numbers chapter 27. And we will look at this in a moment in Numbers chapter 27, verse 18. I want you to look at this just very quickly. This second miraculous mode of being mantled for the miraculous is the contagious component in the anointing. Somebody ought to say the anointing is contagious. That means if you are around the anointing is going to affect you. I said, if you are around the anointing will affect your life and change your life just by being around the anointing. Are you hearing this? I want you to see how this works. Go with me to Numbers. Numbers chapter 27. And we are looking at Numbers chapter 27, looking at verse 18. I will read it for you. This is the inauguration of Joshua before the children of Israel. And the Bible says, and the Lord said to Moses, verse 18, take thee, Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit. Say this with me, a man in whom is the Spirit. One who had the anointing already. Do you realize that only two that came out of Egypt made it into the promised land? And both of these have a common denominator of destiny. What is it? They were the two that were found with the anointing. The Bible says, take thee, Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit. And the Bible says of Caleb, who also made it to the promised land. But my servant Caleb, Numbers 14:24 tells us, a man in whom is the Spirit for Joshua. Joshua, that the scripture is Numbers chapter 27, verse 18, and for Caleb, Numbers 14, verse 24. Because Caleb, my servant, hath another spirit with him. That's the anointing. Somebody ought to say another spirit with him is the anointing, and he has followed me fully. The sign of the anointing is to follow the Holy Ghost fully. You don't lead the Holy Ghost, you follow him. And this is where the problem is today in the body of Christ. We want to lead, but we don't want to follow. But today, we're going to learn how to follow the yieldedness and surrender to the Spirit of God. Somebody should praise him. two ways. We have just discussed that the mantle for the miraculous is released. We have just shared with you in my name. Jesus sent forth the 12. He sent them forth in Mark chapter 3. Using authority. They were not yet baptized in the Holy Ghost. Let us look at this first prophetic principle. Going to Mark's Gospel. Go with me quickly to Mark's Gospel. And we will look in the Gospel according to Mark in the 3rd chapter. And the Bible says, and he ordained 12, verse 14, that they should be with him. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's the secret right there. The closer they were to Jesus, the closer they were to the anointing. Say this with me. I want to be ordained to be with Jesus. Because the closer I am to Jesus, the more closer I am to the anointing. Are you hearing this? He ordained 12 that they should be with him. That's the secret. And the Bible says that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. We ask the question, how could this have happened before the day of Pentecost? It is because any believer that is close to Jesus, because the anointing is something that must be captured. The anointing occurs. There is a contagious component in the anointing. That because the 12 were near him, they were operating under his anointing. He extended it to them. The Bible says he gave them exousia. He gave them authority. He gave them power. Are you hearing this, saints? And Jesus, and the Bible says, and he is going to give them the power of his name. Let's go over to Mark chapter 6. And we see another commissioning of the 12. The Bible says in verse 7, and he called unto him 12 and began to send them forth two by two. And he gave them power against unclean spirits. Again, it's exousia. He gave them authority. Let me explain what that's like. How many of you would like to know? What's the example of exousia? How many of you would like to know? The example of exousia, and in the name of Jesus. The name must be always used because it's not your power. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's not my power. And in case you didn't know it, neighbor, it's not putting yourself forward, it's putting him forward. Hello, somebody, doing it the way he wants, not the way we want. So we have to learn from the word of God the way he wants it done. We're living in a day when people are controlling the Holy Spirit, thinking they can control him. In the name of the anointing, there are all kinds of crazy things happening that are not scriptural. Or we go ahead of the Lord and we think we know how to do it because we saw somebody doing it. So we follow a human being rather than the Holy Ghost. We have to do it exactly the way Jesus would want it done. And if we do not understand agape love, the Holy Spirit will never embarrass anyone. I don't care what kind of sin. I don't care who you are. The Holy Ghost will never embarrass anyone. And if you did it under the anointing and you told somebody in a way where they were humiliated, you were in the flesh. Know it. No, you were not operating in under Jesus' name. Because he never embarrasses. He always uses power and authority, but agape at the same time. Jesus Jesus would not bring someone forward and humiliate them in public. Are you with me? What did he do with the woman caught in adultery? He wrote in the sand the sins of those who were casting stones. How do we operate under his name? Using his name, he has given you power of attorney. Do you know what that is? Power of attorney is only used when someone is alive, not dead. I said, power of attorney is not used when someone is dead. So he gave his disciples power of attorney to go in his name and cast out devils, to go in his name and to preach and to heal the sick. It wasn't them, it was in his name. So because it's in his name, we have to know what it means to have our hearts directed in the love of God. The Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5, part A of the verse, and the Lord direct your hearts in the love of God. That word direct means to go on the same path. That word direct is a way the Holy Spirit wants things done. He wants things done immediately. That word direct in the Greek language refers to doing something immediately, not wasting time, and effectively. That means I don't procrastinate. When the Holy Spirit says, go and do this, we immediately respond to his leading. Why? Because we've been partakers of the divine nature. It's not you, it's Christ in you. It's the Holy Ghost who lives in you, bearing witness to your spirit. You are a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world through lust. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1 that we've been given exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we may be partakers. Do you realize what that word partaker is, saints? It is the word koinonos, koinonos, taken from the word koinonia, koinonos, partakers. That means we are supping, we are partaking, we are sharing in the divine nature. And that divine nature is love. That divine nature is not the flesh. That divine nature is yieldedness. That divine nature is obedience. What happens to the saints of God when there's disobedience? We have to be obedient to two things. We have to be obedient to God's word emphatically, and we have to be obedient to the Holy Ghost who lives within us. And we can't be obedient if there's strife. I said we grieve the Holy Spirit through strife. We cannot be obedient through vainglory. That's what strife is all about. A sense of entitlement. That entitlement spirit is going out of the church. And we know we're not entitled when there's a spirit of gratefulness. God is using us. Gratefulness for what he has done. Gratefulness because he saved us first and foremost. Gratefulness because he's good all the time. Gratefulness because he heals. Gratefulness because if it were not for his goodness, where would we be right now? The sign, beloved saints, of entitlement comes from pure spiritual pride. And spiritual pride cannot coexist with the leading of the Holy Spirit. It cannot. He's looking for a vessel just like Jesus. He's looking for someone that is yielded, who will follow every single leading at the very moment he leads it, directing our hearts in the love of God. Immediately when he says it, the way he wants it done. You know, this word, I want you to see, the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 2. Acts chapter 1, Luke is speaking to Theophilus. And he said, the former treatise that I wrote to you, O Theophilus, concerning all that Jesus of Nazareth did teach and do. After that, after he was taken up to heaven, after that, he, through the Holy Spirit, commanded the apostles whom he had chosen. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Commanded the apostles whom he had chosen. This is a very powerful word, commanded. Because in the Greek language, it's extremely articulate. It's very similar to shema. In Hebrew, there is not a separate word for obey and hear. In Hebrew, the same word to hear is also to obey. So it depends on how you hear. You cannot obey if you didn't hear it right. And so this word commanded in the Greek language is a very powerful word. It's entelio, entelio. Taken from the suffix telo or telio, where we get the word complete, mature and entire. So when the Holy Ghost is commanding, he wants the job done thoroughly to completion. It also defines a purpose. So when he commands us, when he speaks with that inward witness within, and he leads us by his Spirit, and every child of God that's been born again, and every child of God who's been baptized in the Holy Ghost has the right and the identity for to be led by the Spirit. They that are led by the Spirit shall be called the sons of God. It's an identity for the supernatural life. It's not for a few. It's for every believer to be led by the Spirit. And we cannot be led by the Spirit when there is self involved. That's what the whole rabbinic argument is about in Romans 8. Paul is telling us the enemy to the Spirit is the carnal mind. But the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit within. You have to follow your spirit, but you must also have the responsibility to keep your spirit pure. You say, I keep my spirit pure. Yes. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Seeing you have received these great promises, the Bible says, let us cleanse ourselves. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. How do you do that? How do you perfect your spirit? Through your conscience. Paul said, I bear witness. And I lie not, my conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. My conscience bearing me witness. That means my conscience has to be pure. If I allow and I don't have a conscience and it doesn't bother me and I'm so entitled and I'm so self-righteous, doesn't bother me to speak cruel to somebody. Doesn't bother me to be rough with somebody. Doesn't bother me to insult somebody. You're in the wrong ministry. I'm going to tell you right now, you are in the wrong ministry. That is not allowed here. It's not allowed to be mean, cruel, or haughty. It's our joy to have kingdom behavior. I said kingdom comportment. Kingdom behavior is the servant of all. Kingdom behavior is of a humble mind. Kingdom behavior is the least, is the servant of all, is the greatest in the kingdom. Where did we get this? Where did we adopt this theology, beloved, of entitlement? Where did we adopt this theology of being seen of men? Where did we adopt this theology that we come in so filled with self-in-services that we can't worship with joy? Something's wrong somewhere. Two ways the mantle is released. Number one, mantled for the miraculous. Number two, in my name. In my name, they will cast out demons. We saw that. Second way we're mantled for the miraculous. Looking at, we saw Numbers chapter 27. Verse 18, take thee Joshua, a man in whom is the Spirit. We did not get to finish that. I want you to see it. Verse 18, continuing. The Bible says, and set him before Eleazar, verse 19, the priest, and give him a charge. And the Bible says, hallelujah. Verse 20, here's where the anointing is transferred. Say it with me, the contagious component of the anointing. The Bible says in verse 20, and you will take some of your honor and put it on him. I said, you will take some of your honor, some of your doxa in Greek, some of your havod in Hebrew. You're going to put it on Joshua. It's going to transfer on him. Are you hearing this? So the anointing that was on Moses, not the complete anointing, because Joshua has his own anointing. God is not in the business of copycat. That's not what the mantle is all about. It's not about copycat. Are you hearing me? It's about extracting what you received from the one that you want that mantle. And it's about paying the price, because we see three prophetic principles in inheriting the mantle. Number one, the mantle for the miraculous is given by authority and it's transferred through exousia. That is how the disciples went in the name of Jesus. So the mantle for the miraculous goes in his name. Number two, the contagious component of the anointing that we saw in Numbers chapter 27. Number three, and the third powerful way that the mantle is transferred is that the mantle is inherited and the mantle is also merited. That's how you see it through Elisha and Elijah. It was merited and it was inherited. Put your hands up and say, I want the mantle that is inherited and also merited for the glory of God. Are you with me?
Thank you for joining us today on Day of Destiny. We invite you to our website at mydayofdestiny.com, where you can easily access other podcasts and obtain your copy of Dr. Corral's latest book, Secrets of the Anointing. Also, we want to take this moment to invite you to engage in extending your hand of kindness by planting your seed or offering for multitudes that include orphans, providing water wells, providing medical supplies, clinics, feeding programs, and many other services to the suffering church, and through efforts of evangelism worldwide. Just go to our website and click the donate button, or text to give. Text HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. That's HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. You are also invited to visit Dr. Michelle Corral Facebook or Instagram. We look forward to having you encounter the anointing with us on our next Day of Destiny podcast.